and welcome to Between the Games of Antares, a Beyond the Gates of Antares podcast. My name's Josh, and today I am joined by Jamie and other Josh as we discuss our adventures into the beginnings of where we're playing Antares at the moment. So, a bit about me, I've been playing competitive bolt action now for probably close to 4 years, and this is like my first foray into Antares.
I'm Jamie. I like how you've been relegated to other Josh.
Yes, brilliant.
So I've been playing Antares for about a year and a half. I feel like I discovered Antares just a little bit too late, but I discovered it via Warlord, for whom I'm building the Warlord List Builder app. So some of you may know me through social media about that, and I play just about every Antares faction there is.
Hi, I'm other Josh. I'm quite new to Antares. I had an original Gar starter army when it first came out, but other than that, I built it and then sold it off. Before that, I've played 40k for my sins, then got rid of that. We moved on to a much better game of bolt action, which I've played at various levels and really enjoy it. And Antares, I'm currently 3 games in and absolutely loving it.
You're 3 from 3, aren't you?
3 for 3, yeah.
Mm. Ooh, does it count if you were in a 3-way game and there was no
just
clear victor?
Just because you lost. Well, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So we should probably, for anyone who's come across our podcast and doesn't know what Beyond the Gates of Antares is, we should probably tell you what you've gotten yourself into. Hopefully most people already know what Beyond the Gates of Antares is. But it's a tabletop war game, originally written by Rick Priestley, but version 2 was released last year, and that was co-written by Rick Priestley and Tim Bancroft. The game is free to download all the rules, and you can get those at antaresnexus.com. And the miniatures are produced and sold by Skytrex, who are a sister company to Warlord Games, who originally released the game. It's a cracking game, science fiction. It's very much based on the bolt action mechanic of ordered dice, but with some neat changes that hopefully are all positive changes. I mean, I guess I'll leave you guys to decide whether that's the case or not. But if you haven't already discovered it, then go and check it out at antaresnexus.com. So we should probably tell you about how we know each other and what brought us together. So aside from knowing each other in passing, because we all go to the same local game store, which is Entoyment, in case anybody happens to know of it, we got together for a feature that we've got coming up, which we've called A Tale of Four Shards. Those of you with long memories will recognize the format immediately. There was a feature in White Dwarf back in 1998 called A Tale of Four Gamers. And it ran over several issues, I think starting in February 98. And the idea was that 4 Games Workshop stalwarts were given £50 a month with which to build a brand new army for Warhammer. And they had to document the process by which they would maximize the effect of that £50 a month. You know, they would go and attend store openings and look for sales where they could get more models for their money. They would talk about the hobby side of it, painting the models, the list building side, why they chose what they did. And of course, they would field them on the battlefield at least once a month. And it was just a really interesting look in the process of building an army, especially for me as a teenager who didn't really have £50 a month to spend on an army. So we decided that, you know, a couple of decades on, that we would try the same sort of thing, but with Beyond the Gates of Antares. And we haven't changed the amount. It's £50 a month. Where I already have one of every faction, so I'm actually only participating as an extra player. But why don't we hand over to Josh number 2 to talk about what faction you chose and why.
Hi, guys. So I chose the Isaurian Cermatex. I chose them because I thought the models looked cool. Having played bolt action, I know going down really helps save figures. And the Isaurians have a built-in thing that regardless of if they've acted already, they can turn their order dice to down.
And it's dirty.
It is dirty. It's come up a few times.
They're just jealous. Ignore them. It's come up more than a few times, and I love it.
The annoying thing is, when I play Isaurians, they never come up, because once they go down, they stay that way.
That's it, yeah. It's that crucial dice roll.
Yeah.
It is a game of dice.
But being able to not only have an army that's offensively quite strong and has lots of nice alien-looking models, but have an army that can defend itself when needed to, and can then even shoot, and then still have the action so they're out in the open, but can then go down defensively, was a massive, massive thing for me.
It's a double-edged sword, though, because most of the time you don't want to go down. Like, even as an army that, when I have the option to go down, I quite often don't want to, because I know that I might not get back up, I might get charged. The down order might not have made a difference anyway. You know, if someone's shooting at me and they miss all their shots, that down order was effectively wasted. But
your issue is you think about it.
Well,
I don't think about it. I run forward, I'm stuck in the middle, I need to be able to go down because I've done something stupid.
That's fair enough.
So it's quite forgiving for me in that way.
Fair
and
enough.
Who wouldn't love spider monkey models?
Yeah, they are pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So.
The big old space gorillas are pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm Josh number one. I have gone for the Concorde. So, unlike Josh number two, I did not put any thought into it. I was very much like, I like the look of these. And I think, literally, when you search Concorde on either Warlord or Skytrax, the opening thing is, uses, like, overwhelming firepower to stay aloof. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. Let's go for that. And, to be honest, that was literally my decision-making done. So,
But they don't perform too well up close.
That's the only issue. They literally, you have to keep them far away from anything.
Yeah.
They have, like, they've got the tools in their locker to deal with anything from far away. As soon as anything comes close, then it's just like, oh no, this has gone so badly wrong.
Well, it's written like right in their armor rules. You know, their armor goes down by one within 10 inches. Mm. It's not that it goes down by one, it only goes up by one within 10 inches, but it goes up by two beyond that. So, it's easy to forget about that, but as soon as they get charged, I've played quite a few games of Virai versus Concorde. The Virai are incredibly fast and very suited to close combat, and the Concorde just really don't like that. I mean, they can get lucky. The drop troopers, in particular, I found are quite effective.
Drop troopers all have the plasma pistol, though.
That might be what it is. Yeah.
Which gives them a strike value two shot in close combat, which is pretty handy.
And the Krazes are good as well, although I find the Kraz, like, they're better in close combat than strike troopers are, but they're kind of like a very vanilla close combat unit compared to the specialists that you get in other factions. Like the Boromites, for example, have some incredible units for close combat, and I feel like that's one thing maybe that the Concorde are missing. But at range, the last game we played with the C3 M25...
Oh,
that's
just
horrendous.
And it's not even that. I mean, like, I played against, was it the Algorin, and Jamie managed to, like, wipe out my plasma cannon squad. It was like, oh no, I've lost the plasma cannon. I just run my bikes up and drop the plasma cannon out of that, and there's another one straight in the same place.
Too many plasma.
It was a lot
too
of plasma.
Too many plasma.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have bothered killing the first one, because you only had one plasma cannon model. So if I hadn't killed the first one, you just would have had the bikes just continue to roam around.
Exactly,
on them.
Yeah. So it would have been an absolute just car.
I did you a favour, if anything.
Yeah, so. You did. But no, so that's why I chose Concorde. Overwhelming firepower, keep everything at range.
Mm.
Will it work when I have to play the objective of capturing objectives? Maybe not, but at least if I can shoot them off the objectives, then I might get them to break. So
it's fine, because I can just go down on the objective and stay there. It doesn't matter.
That's true. Well, the interesting thing, though, is that if you take away this is going to seem obvious, but if you take away the differences between the Concorde and the Isaurians, you do get, there's still quite a lot left that's similar. So the differences chiefly being, you've just described the down order, the phase armor, which is incredible. Initially, I thought the Concorde equivalent, which is the Hyperlite armor, gives you +3 against blasts. I was like, oh, that's rubbish. Like, you know, phase armor is much better. And I think on the whole, I agree, because phase armor is more useful generically. But we found in the game against the Algorin, who rely a lot on overhead shots and blasts in particular, that the Hyperlite armor was incredibly effective. Just giving you that extra one res, it makes it the units a lot tougher to crack.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And in the games where you were it was like, well, there's no point in firing blast. I'm going to fire scoot, make you run.
Cool. Yeah.
I'll just run towards you then.
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah. I think that was the first game where I'd actually used special ammo other than net. Like, net ammo is great because, you know, getting pins on units, they're probably going to go down anyway and stay that way, at least for a couple of turns. And scoot kind of had that effect because it nullified your ability to shoot at me. But exactly as you say, you just ran towards me. So you had an easier shot next time because you were that much closer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I played with a different force than the Azorans. I played with the Algorin and I managed to suspense the net. And suspense and then on the Concorde was horrendous.
Was that the one that got rid of all my drones, all my hyperlight armor?
That's Scrambler, isn't it?
Oh, that's Scrambler.
Scrambler. Beg your pardon. Yeah, so Scrambler. Scrambler that I fired. Yeah,
yeah. I was tempted to use Scrambler actually, but the difficulty, of course, being is that once it's down, it affects a certain area, and I think I used Scrambler once against you, and you immediately moved out of the area effect. So it functioned kind of like Scoot.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it does. What the ideal is you want to get a unit to go down and then put the Scrambler on top of them and then shoot.
Yeah.
And then that's when all of a sudden things are going to go really wrong.
So I'm guessing Scrambler nullifies the effect of phase armor as well.
Yeah. It's armor.
Yeah. I mean, the Scrambler would be incredibly useful against the phase sniper, who obviously has the camo drone for one, and the phase armor. So yeah, I'll have to remember that actually when I get to playing against the Azorians.
It's nice to take out battlefields.
Yeah,
it just opens up the thing. So you've got a unit behind a drone with a battlefield coming up the board at you.
Mm-hmm.
You fire that ammunition, gets rid of that battlefield. That unit behind are now just sat in the open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which I did rely a lot on battlefields for cover because ultimately it's like, oh, what's going to turn this off?
I think Josh too relied even more on battlefields. Yeah. Every time you filled your MV5, you've had two battlefields, right?
Yeah, because it 360 can protect itself. It can literally batter itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So it survives all the way around and protects itself. Or it can then throw the battlefields 5 inches forward
and
protect everything that's around it. And if the way I've been using it is try to shield it by some cover, so that then I can use the battlefields a bit further out, but block off the other side to give myself effectively cover all around.
Yeah. So the one thing I think the Isaurians are lacking is a heavier vehicle. They've got the MV5, which is a good vehicle, but it's essentially an equivalent of the C3M4.
Mm.
But they don't have a C3M25 equivalent, which the Algorin, for example, do, because they've got, what is it? They've got the Avenger Attack Skimmer, which is a very light vehicle. Then you've got the Defiant as their transport. They've got the Bastion, and they've got something else, which is the sort of heavier one. I can't remember exactly what it is. But and then the Freeborn, of course, have got access to everything that the Algorin have and everything that the Concorde have as well. So the Isaurians, I feel like it was probably just that they didn't get a model out for it in time, but I think you could feasibly field a C3M25 and just give it another name, an MV M25.
You just put some like spiky bits.
Amara Invest 25.
Well, you could do, but then you've got the Andhak drones. You've got so many different variants in there.
You do.
Compression cannons, plasma cannons and stuff there for a relatively low points cost.
True, but then the Concorde do have the same sort of thing as well, right? Because they've got, what is it, the C3D1 and the C3D2, I think.
Yeah.
So that's their like light and medium drone. It's interesting, actually, because recently I was thinking about this, and mainly I was actually thinking in terms of infantry and what kinds of variants you have for one faction or another. So somewhere on my Google Drive, I've got a very shallow analysis of each of the different factions and what how many different infantry they have, how many different vehicles they have. Because I love data and I did pie charts, I'll probably post it on the Facebook group at some point. But it was quite interesting because I think the Isaurians did actually come out a little unfavorably in that analysis, because they just, I think the model range, the infantry, they're good because they've got the Sanra and they've got the phase sniper, which there isn't an equivalent for in other factions. But they vehicle wise, they didn't come out quite as good. So I will have to see if I can find that to build. In fact, I've just found it here. Let's just have a very quick look at that. I'm curious. And so we have Isaurians have a total of 19 different units compared to 21 for Concorde. So it's actually not that much different. But
they're essentially the same faction, really.
They are, right? But if you look at vehicles, Isaurians have got two different vehicles. That's their transport and their MV5. Concorde have got three. Algren have got four. So actually, the unit that's got the most variants is the Freeborn. They've got 28 different units.
Good lord.
But that's because they've got, not only have they got the vehicles that the Algren have got access to, and the vehicles that the Concorde and Isaurians have got access to, they also then have different types of infantry. You've got the Domari, are their regular infantry. You've got the Vardanaria, their elite infantry, and then you've got Feral infantry as well. So three types of infantry. Plus they've got the Misgenics, so that's the fourth type of infantry. So actually, yeah, like if you look at it, it's like they actually only have four infantry types. It's the command types, I think, that actually make it up. They've got 10 different command units, which is nuts.
But they haven't got enough arms or legs. You need four arms.
That's true.
Four legs.
Four arms and four legs.
This is where I'm wishing I'd put more kind of like Concorde. I'll go for them. I should have gone Freeborn. There's like so much more variance. But
my toss-up was massively between Isaurian and Freeborn.
I remember you kept flip-flopping for a long time.
Yeah, kept flip-flopping between the two of them. I loved the idea of space pirates.
Yeah.
And then
space pirates.
Yeah, I got very lucky and remembered seeing an old article on a paint scheme and saw a paint scheme, and immediately it was definitely, that was it. That's what I needed. And then I needed the most alien race to go with that paint scheme, so it was Isaurian.
To be honest, I was hoping that you would go for Isaurian at the time. I didn't want to push you too far one way or the other, but I think Freeborn is a lot more common to see. If you run across an Antares player, because Freeborn are available in plastic, you're a lot more likely to encounter them on the battlefield. And Isaurian are, not only are the models really cool, but because they're all in metal, they're a lot less common that you come across them. So in terms of building a local community, having an Isaurian player is a big draw. Take note, Concorde player.
Ah, pesky plastics. Curses.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I do like, I've got a soft spot for a metal miniature. There's something wonderful when you are picking up a metal miniature to move it across the table. It's got that weight to it. It's just,
yeah. I really want all my army to be either metal or plastic, though, because otherwise what happens is I go to pick it up thinking that it's metal and fling it off the table because it's so light. So getting back to the tale of four shards, the idea with this is that we're going to run it for an indeterminate time. We were thinking up to 6 months, because by that point, if you've spent £300 on an army, even if it's all in metal, you should have basically every unit that you want for that army. Maybe not absolutely everything that's available, but it's certainly enough to field a sizable force. For some of you, even that's not been enough. I know you've both been looking at second armies at some point. You've bought a second army, right?
Yes.
I don't know whether to keep calling you Josh 1 and Josh 2.
Just call other Josh.
How about J-Dub and JP?
Yeah, that works.
J-Dub.
J-Dub. Yeah, it makes you sound a lot cooler than you are.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah, I did buy a second army. I got offered a very good deal on some Algren and might have fallen quite heavily for Algren. I think I'm at 150 points or power level. I've fallen quite heavily for them. And then true to form, they're painted at the minute a very, very bright shade of yellow.
That's interesting, because my Algren are also a very bright shade of yellow. I feel like maybe I inspired you. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, potentially. I potentially could have been inspired by you, but I think the fact that Hazard squads, to me, Hazard is yellow and black.
True.
So,
but you don't have any Hazard squads, right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
The key word there is the yet.
Yeah.
The Hazard squads have been my kryptonite so far with my Algren army, because I originally painted my Algren all red, and I foolishly dipped them using the army painter dip method with amounts to a tin of varnish.
Excellent.
Right. Thinking that it would, I would end up with really high quality results for no effort. What I ended up with was my legs covered in varnish because I put shorts on, and when shaking them off, I don't know if you've ever tried to remove dried on varnish from your leg hairs, but it's very difficult. And then I left them for like a week to dry. They were still sticky. So I sprayed them with matte spray. And afterwards, I just wasn't really satisfied with it. And it's nigh on impossible to remove the varnish without melting the model at the same time. So I ended up just buying an entirely new army. I kept my Hazard squad and managed to strip all the paint off of those. But I've still never been able to paint them to my satisfaction. I don't know if it's because I clogged them up so much the first time round, but just although I'm happy with the paint scheme on the rest of my Algren, those Hazard squads are still a little bit tricky. So I'll be interested when you get yours. In fact, we have got an Algren player in our group, So two of our group who aren't with us today, that makes it sound like they've passed on, doesn't it?
Mm. But one of them's close enough, he's old enough.
so while two of our players aren't with us today, we have Algorin and Gar also represented in the campaign, and then I'll be filling in any other faction that we want to play at any given point. So I know he's gone...
He's gone Hazard Squad straight away.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's interesting because like version 1, you could mix and match them a lot more, but the selectors in version 2 is very much... There's an SD formation and there's a vector formation. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've picked up... Well, not yet picked up, but I am in the process of picking up a Gar army.
Nice.
as well, just because why not?
So basically what we're saying is that both Josh's picked an army... And both Joshes have now flipped to the other two shard players and both picked up their armies as well.
So yes. Is that, yeah, you just want to show them that you can do it better.
It wasn't so much that we could do it better, it's that we just were like, why do you get all the good stuff? We want that too.
I suppose it's a good way to be able to get some practice in.
Yeah, and you know, what better way to learn about competitive lists than building one for your opponent anyway?
That's
so
true.
Bouncing off of the Algorin armour with your Azorian stuff.
Yeah.
And then Concord bouncing off of the Gar.
Yeah.
I don't think the Concord bounce off anything. I think they splat into it.
Right.
There's not much left of them after it.
The interesting thing, though, is that I think I'd massively underestimated the Freeborn until I actually got them on the table.
Mm.
So I played them against Chris with his Gar. And in Chris's defence, it was his first game of Antares. And I might have misinterpreted some rules. That was to his detriment, but not on purpose, I hasten to add. But we definitely afterwards realised that there were some things that we'd done wrong. The Freeborn, I'd expected to just get absolutely flattened because they're kind of like a more rubbish version of the Algorin on paper. Or at least that's the way I looked at them. And I'm sure there's some Freeborn players out there who will...
Screaming at their
writing strongly worded letters. but like, you know, you look at a Damari squad, they have less armor typically. They've got more models, but that's because the individual models are not as powerful. And they come with similar kind of weaponry, mag weaponry. They've got an overhead, but just the one. And I just thought, well, why would I play Freeborn when I could play Algorin? But they actually performed pretty well, especially the Vardanari squad. I had two Vardanari with my commander, and they managed to hold off Fartok for quite a while. I think they fought to a stalemate in hand-to-hand combat.
It's that usual toss-up, though, isn't it, of you've got a better weapon on a squad, or you've got a squad with an extra wound.
Mm.
So
yeah,
it's that toss-up between, do you take the squad that potentially is a bit squishier but has an extra wound, or one that's a bit tougher but there's a fewer of them?
And an extra shot as well.
Yeah.
Right? It's that quality versus quantity argument.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose the Gar outcasts are proof of that because they're all carrying lugger guns that run out of ammo after shooting if you roll a 10. Yeah. But they massacre infantry.
Not only infantry. I very much remember my San Ra squad going into a squad of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I killed two. And you killed all three of mine.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, no, that was the outcasts. That wouldn't have been me. That would have been... you're thinking of the Viri, I think.
No, it wasn't even the outcasts. It was the Battle Group 9 veterans, I think.
I completely forgot about that because that was such a traumatic game. What we've done so far, we've played... I think I've only played against you two... As a group, right? Oh no, we've played an individual game. But yeah, we keep playing three-way games where it ends up being basically me versus the combined might of the Concord and Isaurian Imtel, it wasn't entirely combined.
There was some misgivings.
Yeah, I think at one point you agreed that you weren't going to charge in and then charged in.
Yeah, the plan was right. This turn we've actually got the guy on the back foot. Let's stay back. And then for some reason, my San Ra and my Nuhu straight up the board, straight into the middle of the board. And then I've just got the other Josh looking at me going, what are you doing?
That wasn't the plan.
Yeah.
How did you find the Nuhu in that game? Like, what was your take on it?
I found the Nuhu quite strong. I fully equipped the Nuhu. I took all the drones on her as I could so that she had it. She had her two buddies with her, the two gun drones. one batter. I think it was two batters.
It was a lot of batters.
I think I was on six drones.
Yeah, you had a lot of them.
And then I ran straight in front of Gar and just got shot a lot.
I do remember one turn where you must have lost like 4 to 6 drones. You just kept throwing them in front of the Nuhu.
Yeah.
To save her, and then at the end she was fairly pointless. She didn't even have the gun drones left to.
No, she had no gun drones left. She had no buddy drones left. She had no batter drones left. It's just her stood in the middle of the field.
She still went on for another turn and a half, I think, though.
Yeah, another turn and a half. Yeah, it's just the superior intel.
She was just holding a stick.
It's not a stick.
It was basically a clothes stick.
It's a lightsaber by any other name.
Yeah.
There you go. So there you go. I mean, we've kind of gone off topic from the Tale of Four Shards, but we will be hopefully posting a monthly report of that, and we'll go into varying levels of detail depending on how easily we can corral all four players to commit pen to paper. But look out for that on the Antares Nexus over the next few months. So we should probably talk about what you actually got with your first £50, because I think it's difficult with when you're starting with a brand new army and you've got all these choices laid out before you to limit it to just £50 worth of models, even if you know that you're going to have another £250 worth to spend in the next 6 months. So starting with you, JP, what did you pick for your first £50 worth of Concord?
So obviously at the time of buying, we were really lucky in that Warlord were having their March Madness sale. Mm-hmm. So was it 20% off?
It was 20 or 25, I think.
Yeah, it was a reasonable percentage off. So I knew straight away that I had to get like that the strike box, because the strike team, that's two teams of infantry then and two drones straight away. That's four order dice in one box.
Yeah.
And it was only like, I think after the sale price, it was only like 18, 19 quid.
Which is nuts.
Cheap.
It's nothing. You know, two squads of five plus drones. Yeah.
And that's your core units right there. Yeah. Two battlefields as well if you equip them right.
Yeah. So that was straight up, cool, done. Then I knew I also wanted bikes, and I wanted bikes for no other reason than ruler cool.
Mm.
I was just, you know.
That's interesting, that, because another guy that I've played against, he hated the bikes, but I don't think it was actually how they looked, it was just how they performed, and that was really down to his dice rolling.
I think, you know, the bikes are very versatile, and like in the games I've played, where, you know, you pay an extra point and they can have a plasma cannon.
Mm, that's nuts.
It is mental. I mean, I actually only spent that point just to give them a spotter.
Right.
Just give them the spotter buddy, and then actually, oh, it's just got a handy plasma cannon just in case.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, that I was skeptical about that. Whenever I've played Concord, I've never taken that option because I figured, why would I want to get off of my bike?
Mm.
But actually, it worked really, really well for you.
It does in certain situations. It's got a need, but like I say, I only wanted it for that one reroll. I've got one lance in my bikes and two dual plasma carbines, so I'm always going to reroll that plasma lance if I need to.
So did that take it? That sounds like less than 50. Was that
50? Less than 50. So then my final bit, I did just buy the plasma cannon.
Of course, yeah.
So bought the plasma cannon team, and that meant that I could be real versatile. I could either buy it and then have the support team separate to the bikes, and then if needs be, when it gets destroyed, the bikes can jump off and have it out. But then that was, I think, all in. So for the cannon, bikes, and strike squad. Was £50.25.
So you went 25p over budget.
I did. I really wanted to stick to the core budget because I feel like that was the important part.
Yeah, but you
this.
Didn't even manage to do that.
I know.
Let's go over to someone who did manage to stick to the budget.
Yeah,
here we go.
You definitely stuck to the budget, right?
So yeah, I stuck to the other budget for other Josh.
Oh, okay.
Well, I pretty much did. I pretty much spent both of our budgets. So yeah, I ended up again with the March Madness sale. I ended up falling quite heavily for a very discounted offer.
Mm.
The offer saved me £50 over what it should have been.
Mm.
Slight hindrance that it was £40 and 40 pence over my £50 budget, coming in at a total of £90, 40p. However, regardless of that, I got a lot of stuff.
So what was in it then?
So I managed to get an Azorian phase squad, managed to get the MV5 combat drone, which so far has been an absolute beast.
Mm-hmm.
So just for that alone, I'm glad I got that bundle. It came with the Azorian pulse bike squad, which I've tried both ways. I've tried having them with plasma carbines.
Yep.
Didn't really like how they worked. Thought they lacked a little bit of punch. And in the last game, I ran them with three lances.
Okay.
That was good fun.
I'll bet.
To be able to have that extra firepower of three lances coming in.
And they're like SV4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
SV4, and they can fire in three different modes.
Yeah, yeah.
So to be able to have that on them, on a mobile unit that could move 30 inches to where it's needed to with a sprint.
What were you using them against, out of curiosity, when you had the plasma, the twin plasma carbines?
So twin plasma carbines were against the Gar.
Right, okay.
And that makes sense. That was trying to get rid of the infantry. And I didn't how it hit, because I'd fired it on rapid fire, of course. Why not roll 16 dice?
Exactly.
Strength value 0 doesn't matter, but it clearly does. Right. So I've gone, revised that, and now gone to rolling 3 dice at strength value 4 instead, which in my latest game against the Concorde really helped.
You're right about the versatility, though. The fact that the plasma lance can be used as a carbine. Okay, you're not rolling 16 dice, but you can. You're still rolling. Wait, where'd you get 16 from? That's
twin.
They're twins, so that's twin on rapid fire. That's four per
dude, and I ran a squad of four.
Oh, you ran a squad of four.
I ran a squad of four. I borrowed one from you.
Yes, I ran a squad of four. Okay, so your default box comes with three.
I just wanted to try max squad to see what their output could be potentially.
Yeah, and any opponent is going to panic when you're rolling that many dice.
Yeah, but don't, because it's strength value 0. It did nothing. It did nothing.
So what else did you get in the bundle then?
So I managed to get one of the San Ra squads, which that was the free. That came free with this bundle deal as well. On top of that already £50 saving, that came free.
On top of that?
On top of that.
That's pretty impressive.
So that's a really good deal. And then one of the San... I'm going to get the names wrong now. San Vesh?
Is that
the shooty ones instead of the combat ones?
I think the San Vesh... they might be.
The shooty monkeys instead of the combat monkeys.
Yeah, the combat monkeys are this. San Mara, aren't they?
The Taurus
squad San Faye squad.
I just really liked how they looked, and having the extra legs on the back of them really worked with it. It was something that was incredibly alien.
Yeah.
And for the paint scheme that I picked, worked really well.
Yeah.
So I went with, I'm sure some people have seen the pictures, I've put them up on the Imtel Facebook page. I went with a colour shift paint of blue, and it changes to black, to blue, to purple.
Yeah.
Depending on how the light's bouncing off of it. And
it's
just looks...
It's very alien.
Yeah.
It's very alien.
And it has to be seen to be appreciated. I did think when you first sent the photos through, I did think, well, they look like kind of glossy black, oily, which is cool. But when I saw them in person and you can actually see the way that the light plays off of them, I think they look a lot better than that.
And the main reason I picked that was to represent the phase armour. So armor's reacting, they're phasing in and out of existence be there. And I thought that being able to change where that model is and how you look at it from different lights gives it that phase thing.
It's pretty cool.
So how many points did you get for your initial purchases?
I think my initial purchases came out at around 70 total, which is not great. It came...
Great, that's pretty damn good.
If you think you got order dice wise, that's what, two for the MV5, one for the Pulse Bite squad, one for the Phase squad, and one for the... you got two San Ra squads, right? You got San Ra Phase and San Ra Taurus.
Yeah, so I got six order dice for 68 points.
Seven order dice, because it's mod two for the MV5, right? Oh, am I getting that wrong? Narvesh, Martin San Mara, San Vesh... Yeah, okay, you got me.
Yeah, so six order dice for 68 points.
And they're pretty elite units, so that actually that scans.
Pretty elite units for it. And I was quite shocked that the points cost for all of those models actually came in at 68. Because it seemed to be getting that amount of saving for that. And then realised that 24 points of that 68 is one unit. Being the MV5 combat drone. Which is an absolute beast.
What did you do with the extra 2 points then?
The extra 2 points, Obviously, an extra batter drone.
Oh, yeah.
Because you need two batter drones.
I feel like we need a rule in here where you can't borrow anybody else's models, even though I said at the outset that if you needed to borrow the odd drone that you could do so from me. I don't fancy playing against the MV5 with two batter drones again.
That's right. Well, I'll just put batter drones into this month's purchase.
Ah, fair enough.
So this month's purchase, you'll be under, right?
Well, in theory, you should be about £40 under.
In theory, my budget is £9.60 for this month.
So essentially, you're buying some batter drones.
So essentially, I'm buying some batter drones. No. So I already know what I'm buying with my next one. I like to plan it out.
Do you want to tell us, or do you want to kind of keep that close to your chest?
I'm more than happy to tell you. So this will make you laugh already. Batter drones are in there.
Yep, that's fair enough.
And some more Narvesh, which is the Pan-Human Phase Squad.
Yeah. Okay.
Two units of that.
Here's a question then. Which ones did you go for? Because of course, Skytrax have got the new form ones.
I went for the old form.
Ah, okay.
To stay together. Right. What I'm thinking with the new form is I'm going to buy. They do them in separately. They do two together.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy those together and use them as the bodyguard for a new Who.
Nice.
If I get the new Who, and then it's like a royal sort of bodyguard look to it, which is different from how the other ones look.
Right.
So it's like an upgraded version.
Yeah. What I'd like to see, actually, and hopefully Skytrax will make something like this happen, is individual Sanra models being sold, because in version 1, the default size of a squad was 3, and in version 2, the default size is 4, but they're still sold in 3s.
Yeah.
So to that end, if you wanted to really be efficient about it, you'd have to get, like, let me see, 3-4 squads of... 4 squads of... 4 boxes of Sanra.
Yeah, to build 3 squads.
3 default squads.
Yeah.
But so, okay, you asked an interesting question. How many points did he get for his purchases? What about yourself? Because I know the Concord are pretty points efficient when it comes to money.
Concord are very points efficient. So it depends on how I wanted to run it. So if I was to run it as what my original plan was, which was the bikes and the squads, and then give the bikes the plasma cannon, I can get about 50 points. If I then have a plasma cannon separate, I get to up to about 60 points. So, and then with that's the extra order dice. I can throw a couple of battlefields out and spotter drones here and there and be a bit more liberal with my squads. So,
well, that's what we managed to play. We managed to do a 60-point game each.
And then I had 6 dice for that. Yeah.
And that was using all our own models, not borrowed models, as we've already been accused.
Yeah, okay.
However, I did have to use some pin markers for a battlefield because I did run out of battlefields because I had that many.
Yeah.
Right.
But
glory to the battlefields.
Yeah, glory to the battlefields. They are pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
And so, have you decided what you're getting next month?
Certainly have.
Oh.
as if there was any doubt. I'm about 2 months ahead. So, for next month, so I want to get the transporter drone.
Mm.
Because I like the idea of being able to have that squad in there protected a little bit. And it's just a mobile guns platform, and I thought it'd be quite cool. So, definitely transporter. And having played against an X-Launcher... 3 times.
It depends if you count your game against the Algorin as 2, because I had 2 of them at the time.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. But I'm going to get an X-Launcher as well, I think.
Nice.
Just because I think it was so annoying that I just was like, right, well, I'm going to turn this on you and I'm going to get one myself. Fine.
The interesting thing about X-Launchers as well is that version 1, they were considered overpowered, I think, because they... I don't know if they were generally considered overpowered, but I certainly found that in my games. But they had a -2 to hit with overhead fire. And the reason that they were considered overpowered was that if you missed, you would still scatter... quite easily, and if you used a fire order, you would only scatter half the distance. Whereas now you only scatter if you're using a fire order, and you scatter the full D10 inches. And I kept thinking that they'd over-nerfed it, and it took me like about 5 or 6 games for it to finally sink in. No, the penalty is only -1 now for overhead, not -2. And it's amazing what difference that makes. Like in the game that we had, certainly the -1, I was rolling close to the limit so many times, because otherwise a lot of the time you were just hitting on a 1 every time. And it felt like the Algorin had been defanged, if you will, by that.
Definitely, if you're shooting at an Algorin squad, and they've got an X launcher in it, or is it
Micro X?
Micro X. Spend that lucky on the Micro X.
Oh, God,
don't get rid of that drone.
Yeah,
let them keep the drag, get rid of that micro X.
Well, because the micro X has also got the overload ammo, yeah. And that's like it took me ages to actually start using overload. But making a strike value 3 shot is the only way that they're going to be putting pins on Gar suits. And like, so much of the game is can it put pins on Gar suits because they're the kind of wild card in the infantry game.
And as we all know, you like your command crawler getting pinned out of the game.
Oh yes, I do. Yeah, that was my favorite.
Command crawler getting pinned out of the game. That only happened because it got 3 shots from a plasma bombard.
Yeah,
that was pretty incredible. And I was saving my rally order.
Yeah,
I should have executed that rally a lot sooner.
Yeah,
but you know, I like to think that it did its job. It occupied you for all of not even one turn. I think it was.
I think it made it into the second turn.
Did it? Oh, okay.
It was started pretty... the second turn and first dice out was Concord.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and it just finished him off. So. There you go. So look out for those plasma bombards. I think next time I'm not going to loan you the C3M25. I think that was my mistake.
So that I've decided already is going to be my final purchase of
the whole thing.
Of the whole thing is going to be the C3M25,
nice.
And then I'll put the extra towards it. But I feel like that's the kind of like the pinnacle of what the final thing is. It's like, look at how far we've come. We have this massive drone.
So learning so far. Jamie's learned not to lend us his models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've learned the power of the battlefield and not to spend 2 months' budget.
Yeah.
What have you learned?
What have I learned? I've learned that X launchers are the worst thing in the world, so I'm obviously going to get all of them. My next 4 months will. Oh, he's got another X launcher, has he?
Luckily, you're limited.
Yes, I am.
Luckily.
It's the difficulty with the X launchers is quite often you come down to, you're at 50 points exactly and you don't have your X launcher yet and you need to the extra 1 point to get it. So
it's actually an extra 2 points. It's an extra 2 points to go for a X launcher.
That must be... So I think they're only an extra 1 point for the Algorand. Yeah. So I think that's obviously...
Concordism.
Yeah.
Because your intel costs you more because it's in superior.
Ooh. So about actually, do the Isaurians, is it 1 point for their weapon teams to...
I haven't looked, to be fair. I got distracted by Big Boy Toys, so I've been looking at plasma bombards and X-howitzers.
Mm.
And
it's one of the nice ways they've differentiated between factions, though, in V2, is to change up the points cost so that it's not just a standard across every faction, so it does add a little bit of extra flavour.
Yeah, I mean, I like the plasma bombard, I like the X-howitzer, I don't like the fact that, like in regular bolt action, it has to stay still to shoot.
Yeah.
I feel like mount it on a drone, the C3M25, and it's fine. Good to go. You can move around, shoot, do whatever. But when you have something stationary, where like terrain becomes such a huge thing in Antares, especially when it stacks and you're like all of a sudden...
I'm defensively, it'd be good though.
Yeah, defensively, great. But
that's one of the reasons I've not fielded any heavy support teams yet. I'm painting up my first one, which is an Algorin mag mortar. But... I'm not sure how often I would field it when there are other choices that would fit into that point value. Anyway.
Trust me, we've already discussed your mag mortar.
Oh, really?
And it is damage that it can put out as a warranty. But I've just checked on the handy Beyond the Gates of Antares list building app.
Oh, there's an app, is there?
There is
an app. Which fine gentleman made that.
Yeah, I wonder. So I've just checked on it, and mine is 8 points for my weapons team and 2 points to upgrade it to an X launcher.
Inferior
intel, you just borrowed mine.
But what you do get for that, I think, is access to a slightly wider range of special ammunition. I can't remember what it is that you don't get from the Algorin, but the...
So I will be getting Arc, Blur, Grip, Scoot, Scrambler and Suspensor.
I suspect it is Arc and Blur. I know Arc certainly don't. Arc is essentially like a battlefield, right?
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. Like in certain maps, if you've got quite a lot of terrain and like funnels where the enemy has to come through, having an arc just stuck down there is very, very handy.
I can't remember which one it is, but there's one sort of ammunition I remember reading and looking at and thinking that's brilliant, was you could fire it into the middle of the board.
Mm.
And then if a shot's going through that, I think it's Blur.
That's Blur, yeah.
Shot's going through it, you roll the D10 on I can't remember which way around it is, but a 1-5, that shot fails to go through.
Right.
So that you're then providing your own cover before you even get to the battlefield.
And does that work both ways though, right? Whereas a battlefield,
I would guess so.
Yeah. Because a battlefield, of course, only works from the outside in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect your own troops.
What would be even funnier is if you just had to roll a D10 close to it, and then which, if it was 1-5, goes through normally. 5-10, it goes off in the other direction.
Oh, what? Yeah, you got
just
to roll
a random
randomly.
Direction. Oh, no, I've ended up
I sense a house rule coming in.
Yeah. No, I'm going to shoot myself. I can see this coming.
Ping. Oh,
the
no.
MV5 does a 180. Shoot something expensive, yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather see the M25 shoot itself with a plasma bombard.
That would be truly awful.
Was it strike value 7? Was it strike value 9?
Strike value 9.
Yeah, that's brutal.
I think it is res 15.
Well, so but strike value 9 would chip away most of that, so I'd be quite happy with that. It's still there. That's pretty impressive. That'd be a red 6, which is still more than 50% chance of passing. That's ridiculous.
I know. And the M25 is only 3 points more than an M4.
Which is, crazy. What else can you get for 3 points? Well, not a lot.
With that M4... what you'd spend the 3 points on is an extra battlefield and an extra spotter drone.
Glory to the battlefield.
There you go.
So all of a sudden, for the same points, you have two vastly different machines.
But it must be force level 2 upwards, right?
Or it has to be,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
It has to, yeah. Because it is, again, it's res 15.
I'd be interested to see if you... So one of the things we haven't really talked about, which we won't go into huge detail on, is we're going to be running an event in October, an Antares Day. And one of the list building formats that we were looking at is the plus option that was used last year at the Antares Games Day that Tim Bancroft ran. And the idea of that is you pick so many points for your army, and then I think it was like a 60-point list, and then you pick an 85-point list, but you're allowed to pick one option from a higher force level. So 85 points, I think, takes you to force level 2. I think you're allowed to pick a force level 3 option within that, so it just allowed you a bit more.
So please tell me it's more than 25 points.
Yes, it is.
It is. That's fine. You can't bring it. That's fine.
27, I think.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
That sucks. Well,
it sucks to be him.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get it on the field at some point.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It'll come out right towards the end.
Right, that's probably about all we've got time for. This week, or I say this week, we haven't even discussed how often we're going to do these, but it is what we've got time for this week, this month. Yeah. We'll probably try and get these out. I'd like to say we'll get them out every month, maybe more often, depending on whether we want to play games or talk about them. Generally, I think we want to do both, right?
Yeah. I mean, the ideal would be we could play the game and talk about it at the same time as we're going. So we'll just have a discussion while playing.
Having done one battle report.
Yeah.
Where I wrote notes.
Yeah, that took ages.
Yeah.
It took so long.
Yeah.
To be able to convert that alone, talking about it, doing the notes. Don't get me wrong, the battle report is good.
It's top tier.
It's good. You've got every dice roll, you've got everything that you need.
It
in
is
there.
Good.
And that should be coming to you soon.
Yes.
It should be. Well, it'll be in our first article, hopefully. Yeah. So maybe that'll drop around the same time that that you're listening to this. So if you haven't already read it, head to Antares Nexus and you hopefully find it there. But we are going to have regular, semi-regular episodes. We'll talk about particular rules that have caught us out. We'll talk about particular units. We'll have unit focus, faction focus, and just generally talk more about the hobby and what we've been doing with Tale of Four Shards and maybe about the lore. So if you've got anything that you want to hear us talk about, just, I guess... email us. You can email me at warlord@malaric.com, but you can get in touch with any one of us on the Facebook group, and that's basically it. Anything that you guys want to add?
Glory to the battlefields.
Glory to the battlefields.
Glory to the battlefield. Remember to stay financially responsible, guys, and stick to your budgets.
Yeah. We'll see you on the next one.
See you later, guys. Care.